I'm Stephen, he's Chris, and this is Mobile Arcade Club, a show where we take a look at games from Apple Arcade each episode and talk about what works, what doesn't, and hopefully let you know if it's something you might want to try. On this episode, Chris gets into some wholesome Disney violence in Disney Melee Mania, and I explore an island full of wonderful nature and wildlife in Alba, a wildlife adventure.
Hello and welcome to episode 45 of the Mobile Arcade Club and the first episode of 2022. On this episode, we'll be checking out Alba, a wildlife adventure, and the recently released, before Christmas that is, Disney Melee Mania. And we'll start off with Alba, a wildlife adventure, which Stephen, you put a little bit of time into this one. Take it away.
So I've been sussing this one out over the last couple of days. I actually went through and finished it. It's not an absurdly long game. It's a nice little game to jump into and have a few sessions to get through. But I should probably start at the start. So Alba, a wildlife adventure, it's a charming little, I guess, adventure game where you play as a little girl called Alba. She's a kid visiting her grandparents on a Mediterranean island and visiting old friends on that same island. And she's got a keen interest in wildlife and nature. When she gets to this island, she finds that there was a nature reserve that used to be there that's sort of in a state of disrepair at the moment. And the mayor announces that they're instead of actually repairing and making it a nice place, they're going to knock it all down and chuck a hotel there. And so Alba begins on her quest to find all the native animals that are living there, to go and fix things around the place, and in the end kind of try and convince the town that it might be a better idea to keep this nature reserve than to knock it all down and put up a big hotel and things like that. And so, yeah, it's just a really wholesome and lovely kind of pro-environment, pro-nature story, the kind of story that I feel I remember growing up with when I was a younger child. And in the 90s, you had all the Captain Planets and your Fern Gullies. It was a fairly common thing. And, yeah, this had a really pleasant vibe of that along those same lines. You had this little kid who, through just enjoying and appreciating nature, is able to overcome horrible capitalist odds to make sure that the island that she loves stays beautiful and natural. So essentially what you do, the gameplay itself usually revolves around exploring the island. You get a smartphone that has an app that can take photos of animals and immediately identify what they are. It's an incredible app. I wish it existed in real life, but that said, that's fine. You go around trying to find all of the animals in an almost Pokemon Snap kind of way, find them all on the island, and you'll be able to fix things around the island, pick up rubbish, rescue animals in some situations. And the whole thing exists over a story of about 3 and a bit days worth of game time. And in that time, you just go around, complete these kinds of objectives, and that leads you through a surprisingly engaging story of, you know, all the people coming around to realizing what's happening on their island and what your little crusade is to make some change on the island. And yeah, I just found it really, really compelling. It was fun. It immediately was adorable. All the characters are lovely and you just enjoy spending time in this place, finding animals that you can hear all of them, like birds chirping around. You can find, oh, where's that bird? That's a sound I haven't heard. And you can use that as a clue to where new things are. It's just a really, really engaging little game. I really absolutely loved my entire time with it.
Certainly sounds that way, and it's very interesting, the very much the environmentalist themes with Alba. There's a couple of games on Apple Arcade that have that very strong message, and it almost sounds like Alba is the sort of human side of what Sneaky Sasquatch also does with trying to prevent this rapid expansion of, you know, man-made structures overtaking beautiful natural reserves and the nature and habitats that attach to that as well. So it sounds like it takes a little bit of a different approach, because from what you're saying, it doesn't really sound like Alba goes around driving golf carts and doing sick zoes on golf courses, but it does sound like a very lovely time altogether. And Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Albert is from Us Two, the folks who are also known for the Monument Valley games, correct?
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So does it tap into some of that, you know, really strong puzzle gameplay that Us Two are known for in terms of how you sort of navigate this world and photographing the local fauna and that sort of thing? Or does it venture away from the puzzle making that they're known for?
Yeah, it's not super puzzly, I'd say. It's fairly straightforward in that it tells you, you know, to find an animal or something, and you'll have to pay attention to your surroundings, think about where they might be, talk to people who might give you some clues as to where they are. But that's about as deep as the puzzles go. I would say that it's fairly straightforward and not particularly challenging in either like a mental puzzle solving or an actual like gameplay, you know, control sort of method. But it's engaging nonetheless. It really makes you pay attention and appreciate the environment in a way that I haven't really found in a lot of games, and I'm sure that was their entire point of it. But just walking through a place with fairly minimal music, depending on where you are, you can hear all the different sounds and chirps of the animals and birds around you, and you just kind of can listen for this and find its own kind of music, I guess, as appreciating the natural surrounds is just an interesting way of getting around the world rather than it being, you know, puzzle or fully mechanical based. There's not much in the way of mechanical challenge. It's sort of go to a place, find a thing, or find a particular object that you can repair and repair it, and that might attract an animal or find a person who will go, oh, that's, thank you for fixing that, I heard there was an animal nearby. It's sort of stuff like that where it's gives you a little hint as to what you need to do next, so you never feel like you're lost as to what to do. But it doesn't funnel you into particular ways of playing. It got to the end of a day, for example, and it says, oh, well, you've done all the story things for the day. You can go home to see Grandma and Granddad when you want to finish the day. But I'd often find myself just wandering around for 10 or 15 minutes, finding animals that I hadn't taken a photo of before, or just exploring around the place. It was just that nice of a place to exist in.
So it's not strictly linear then. Obviously, you've got your core story objectives and your core story activities to do. But then outside of that, you've got a bit of flexibility to approach them at your own pace and in sort of your own order, I take it?
Yeah, essentially the main core of the story, objective is that you need to get 50 signatures on your petition so that you can present to the mayor once the sort of an end game festival where you present it to them and hopefully change his mind. And as part of that, you'll have the story things where you have to do these particular objectives for the days to advance, but you'll also find ones where, you know, it's just clean up rubbish in 5 different areas, or find an animal on the beach that's been covered in oil, or, you know, that's been poisoned by pesticides or something, and help them out. And those things are sometimes part of the story, often just part of generally wanting to explore. And so, yeah, it lets you have that freedom to approach it in whatever way or order you want to. And usually doing those things gives you more signatures so that you can get closer to the end. I found that I didn't have to go out of my way any more than I felt personally compelled to, and I still got all of the signatures I needed by the end. I still had some objectives that I hadn't fully completed at that point, so I don't know what, if any, benefit there would be if I did go through and 100% finish all of those, but I felt like the game, it had a good balance between letting you just do what you naturally felt like you wanted to do, what you were compelled to do just from, you know, a personal desire point of view, rather than a, it's on a list so you must do it point of view. And it didn't restrict me from doing any of that. It just felt a very natural progression, I'd say.
I tell you what, Alp has done pretty well to see about, you know, making positive change by getting 50 signatures on a petition. If only it were that easy to do so in real life. If only, you know, getting 50 petitions would, or 50 signatures on a petition would, you know, make some significant positive change in the real world as well. She's done well.
Yeah, it was good fun. And like the story as well, it takes you to some interesting places on this island. There's areas that have some fairly interesting historical significance. And I will say I didn't expect the story to get as much into political intrigue and, dare I say it, corruption as it did. Like, it's all presented in a way that is kid-friendly because it's clearly a game that is meant to be played by all ages. You don't need to have a degree in political science to understand what's going on. But as an adult, I'm like, oh, I kind of see what's going on. This is giving this idea of, you know, political money changing hands, corruption-y sort of stuff in a way that is easy for children to understand, but made it a strangely compelling story on its own, even as a fully grown adult, or as I like to think I am anyway.
Nice one. That's yeah, really interesting the way that, you know, you can use the medium of game making and video games, playing through a game, to be able to tell such stories in a way that is approachable to different audiences. Hmm. So who would you say Albert is most suited for?
It's hard to say because it's really made in such a way that anybody could really enjoy it. And it's so, I don't want to say it's short, but it is long enough to get to do what it wants to do without ever really feeling like it's wasting your time. You can, there'll be those extra objectives that I mentioned that I didn't feel I needed to do, and I still felt like I got a good game out of it. But if you want to be a completionist, there's extra stuff there. I'd say really it would be appropriate for anyone who can read and who has any kind of appreciation for wildlife and nature. Like, I don't consider myself, I'm not a bird watcher, I'm not a, you know, environmental evangelist, but I generally vibe with the themes that this game's going for. And I think that's all you really need to have some sort of appreciation here, an ability to enjoy exploring this little island world and hearing the sounds of the wildlife, finding them, taking a cute photo and playing along with this really cute story. Then, and the characters as well, they're really, really endearing. Like, Alba herself is lovely, and, you know, she's got this really supportive set of grandparents who'll, you know, help her on her way. Initially they're a bit, oh yes, you're a child, you should go have fun with your petition, it's probably not going to matter, but we'll support you because we're grandparents. And sort of by the end they change their tune when she's having a little bit of success, I guess. And yeah, it's just really heartwarming. I think it's for anybody who has a few hours free on a weekend afternoon, really. Just sit down, play with it. I finished it in about two decent sessions and had a really lovely time with it.
Fantastic. So any other thoughts you'd like to add for Alba, or that pretty well sums it up?
I think the only other thing I should probably touch on is, you know, we usually talk about how things perform on the various devices that we try, just in case people are you know, playing it on different places. I played mine through entirely through my M1 MacBook Air, hooked up to a TV with a PlayStation controller, because it felt like, it's a game that I'm sure could be very easily enjoyed on an iPad or an iPhone, for example, but I just kind of felt like playing it on a TV as though it was a console game, and it worked really well that way. It recognized the controller perfectly, as I think most Apple Arcade games are probably required to do, I believe. And yeah, it ran reasonably well on the laptop. I couldn't max it out like I did with Fantasian. I put it up to 4K resolution and started noticing a few hitches here and there, so ratcheted things a little bit back. But yeah, I think it ran wonderfully on this MacBook, and I imagine it would probably run pretty well on really any phone that it's supported by. I didn't get a chance to try it with the touch controls, but I feel that it's one of those games where all you need really is the ability to have, you know, your virtual stick movement and some camera control with the other thumb. And there's probably, I imagine, a button to bring up your camera, and then there's not really much more to it. It's fairly straightforward and simple with the requirements that it asks of a player for how many buttons and things that it needs to deal with. So I imagine it's probably perfectly playable anywhere, but wherever you can play it, I highly recommend that you do.
Nice one. That's a glowing recommendation for Alba, a wildlife adventure from Stephen, and very pleasing to come across another game that has a photo sort of mechanic to it, because I think more games should let us take photos of the lovely environments and cute creatures that inhabit it. And we've been having a lot of those games lately, so Alba's yet another one that we can enjoy taking photos of cute animals. So from Alba, we go to Disney Melee Mania, a very distinctly differently paced game, this one. Now, this one's from Mighty Bear Games, who are based out of Singapore, who you may recognize from another game and one that we've covered previously. They're the folks who are behind Butter Royale, the food-themed take on the Battle Royale genre, which we played a little while ago, but that was a lot of fun, a lot of very silly fun using all these food-themed weapons to, you know, try and, you know, get into the ever-shrinking circle and take that one out. But Disney Melee Mania is, it's a 3v3 multiplayer online battle arena-styled game, otherwise known as a MOBA, which if you're familiar with the genre, you'll recognize other games like League of Legends and Dota, those sort of games being the really big examples of the MOBA genre. But the big thing that Disney Melee Mania does is that it has a very family-friendly focus at its core. It's very concise, which I like. I really like things that, you know, I can dive into very quickly and dive back out, because I have, when I did try League of Legends once upon a time, there were games that would go upwards of an hour. And yeah, there were no guarantees of a game being a quick one. So the fact that Disney Melee Mania's games are capped at 5 minutes is a very approachable way to dip your toe into the MOBA genre, which can be very intimidating from the outside looking in.
It definitely has a bit of a reputation.
Yes, oh, it certainly does. It certainly does. And I'll touch a little bit on the sort of impenetrable nature, or seemingly impenetrable nature, of MOBAs a little bit later on. But as the name suggests, with Disney Melee Mania, the cast is full of beloved Disney characters, such as Elsa from Frozen, there's Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story, there's Timon from Lion King. There's lots of these. I'd say there's a pretty good range of classic Disney characters, and say the new ones, such as I think, was Moana a character? I can't remember.
There was someone from Moana in there. I definitely saw them. There was Mulan. There was some elephant one that I didn't recognize. I think that might be one of the Disney movies that's from when I stopped watching, I guess. But there was quite a wide variety of, as you say, characters for pretty well everybody. There was even, I believe, one that was sort of meant to be a like Epic Mickey, old style Mickey Mouse Wizard Fantasia sort of Mickey. That was really surprising to see.
Yeah, the old wizard-looking Mickey. So, yeah, that's a cool little throwback to, you know, some classic Disney stuff. And there's something very oddly satisfying. It's sort of glee-inducing while indulging a bit of the, I'm not sure how to best describe it, but there's something delightful about seeing these wholesome, beloved Disney characters belt the absolute tar out of one another in these little arenas. But I think the way they justify it is that these are holograms or holographic versions of the characters. So I think that's how they get around these characters being in the one arena and being, you know, very, very violent against one another. And when I say violent, we're not talking blood splashing Tarantino style or across the screen or whatever. We're just saying that these characters are trying very hard to win and you know, knock the others out. But that's where, like with a lot of MOBAs, it's not just about the combat. It's not just about trying to defeat other opponents. It's about playing to the objectives. And one of the main objectives that you come across, and this is one that I came across the most, was sort of this very capture the point, king of the hill type of objective, where every minute or every 30 to 60 seconds, this objective in the middle would activate almost like this glowing platform in the middle, where if you were the sole team to occupy that space when it was active, you would then accumulate points towards your team's total. And if you had multiple teams, as in, you know, you've got two teams, if you had people from both teams in the space at once, it'd be like a contested point where you'd need to clear out, you know, either defeat the other enemies and then they'd have a timer to respawn, or drive them away to then occupy that space solely, so you'd score points toward your team. But yeah, it's pretty standard multiplayer stuff there. But the real winner here with Disney Melee Mania is just how approachable it is. So not only have we got the very short match sort of time in terms of 5 minutes a game. The characters are all very approachable and easy to play, easy to learn. They've all got about, you know, a max of 3 moves, roughly, or something like that. It's not like a lot of MOBAs, like the hardcore ones like League of Legends and Dota, where in those games, not only are you trying to focus on the moment-to-moment combat, but you've also got an in-game economy and various currencies to work your way through, various items to try and upgrade, leveling up and trying to identify, okay, what items do I need to combine with what abilities to get the most out of my character and my team's makeup as well, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Disney Melee Mania reduces it to a very simple, okay, it's all about how well you can move and control your character and use your abilities in conjunction with your teammates. It doesn't try and complicate things any further than that. So it's a really great entry point for anyone looking to get into a MOBA, and of course very family friendly with that Disney touch, that Disney focus as well. So yeah, it's, you know, and as we said before, there's a good mix of characters. There's, you know, Elsa is very good from range, using her frost and ice-based abilities to use them from a distance, whereas there are other characters who are best suited for close combat type scenarios. Did you have a character that you gravitated towards the most, Stephen?
I initially started with Timon just because I loved The Lion King growing up, but I eventually found myself sticking with Mulan for a couple of matches because, firstly, there was like an event to unlock Mulan-specific stuff, so it kind of felt, you know, the one that I should probably stick with. But I did end up finding them a lot of fun to play with. So it took me a while to realize how different each of these characters were. Sort of, I initially was starting to play kind of assuming they were all relatively the same in a different skin, but you really begin to notice that, you know, particular characters are best suited to particular places or particular situations, and maybe even best when supported by another character of a different sort of archetype. It's deceptively deep. It removes all of those, as you're talking about, sort of RPG elements you get in the more intense, hardcore sort of MOBA style games, but definitely not to the point where it's over simple, because there are still a lot of factors to take into account with what's going on in the moment to moment gameplay that, you know, you can approach it, you can understand what's going on fairly easily, but yeah, it's not simple by any means. Each of these characters need to know what you're doing to be more successful than if you just kind of chose them and mashed the buttons, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. I found myself drawn to Elsa for a lot of my time with Disney Melee Mania, because from memory, Elsa is the character they get you to do a lot of the tutorial stuff with. So they get you familiar with Elsa pretty early on. So I felt, well, I've got some level of mastery over this character, so I may as well keep a good thing going.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the whole wish fulfillment of being a Disney princess as well.
Of course, that's something we all wouldn't mind doing.
Exactly. So, yeah, and she was a really good all-round character as well, as a lot of these characters are. They're not pigeonholed into, okay, this character is only good when paired with this other one or that sort of thing. So, again, sort of simplifying the rosters and the abilities and a lot of the nuances of the MOBA genre into, you know, you don't need to understand an ever-changing and highly complex meta to get into the game and to keep up to pace. So you can pick a character that resonates with you, whether it be from a combat level or you just particularly vibe with a particular Disney character, which, I mean, fair. So There's a lot of good stuff here with Disney Melee Mania. And I think that the closest comparison I can make to another game, so we've mentioned the likes of League of Legends, we've mentioned the likes of Dota, but I think its closest companion on the market so far is Pokemon Unite, which released, I think, about midway through last year on both mobile and Nintendo Switch, where it had a staggered release. Anyways, details. The big thing there was Pokemon Unite, I think, had 10-minute battles. So that was, again, sort of a streamlined focus of the MOBA genre. But it still had an in-game economy, and it still had you leveling up characters, leveling up particular abilities and that sort of stuff during the games and that sort of thing, which did add a decent level of strategy. But I think it still adds a little bit of a barrier of entry, especially for younger players or for those who aren't as familiar with these real-time battle arena sort of games, to then, oh, hang on, I'm not just trying to move my character, battle, get into strategic positions, cooperate with my team. Okay, I've leveled up. I need to actually figure out what my build is and figure out what ability I'm going to upgrade here, whereas Disney Melee Mania strips that back a little bit further and makes it a more approachable experience altogether. So
I think it means that I'm not worried that I'm leveling my character up wrong. And as you say, even with Pokemon Unite, it's more streamlined than some of the bigger hitters, but it's still, I still sometimes worried, like, what's the quote unquote correct way to play this? I don't know this. I'm not in the community. I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. Thankfully, there's no voice chat for people to scream at me to say that I'm doing it the wrong way, but it's still kind of a stressor that some people will vibe with, some people won't, but it ended up making me bounce off a little bit as well.
Yeah, so with Disney Melee Mania, it does give you more. It sort of reduces a lot of the peripheral stuff that MOBAs are known for, so you can focus primarily on the combat and controlling your character and getting the best out of your character in a team context, which I think is pretty cool and pretty smart on Mighty Bear Games' part as well. And another thing, of course, by virtue of being an Apple Arcade game, is that it does have a bunch of upgrades and cosmetic unlocks, like, you know, cute outfits for these beloved Disney characters, but it's all part of natural in-game progression by playing as different characters, by participating in themed events that are going for however many weeks at a time. And it all happens naturally, so, you know, there's no spending of money, there's no disrupting of sort of the balancing of characters in terms of, okay, all of a sudden I can afford this item which increases my attack by however many percent and gives me just that little bit of a bonus, which that was something that Pokemon Unite encountered a fair bit of criticism at launch. And it does have some pretty aggressive microtransaction sort of stuff with the game there, which is something, thankfully, that Disney Melee Mania does not have. So that's one less thing to worry about, which is thankful, and I think that's something that we bring up a fair bit on the Mobile Arcade Club, because there are a lot of games out there, there are a lot of great games out there that are fun to play, but they do have this looming cloud of microtransactions and aggressive in-game economies, which is something that through Apple Arcade is something that's just not at all permitted, which is to our benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things I brought up, I think, on the very first episode of this show, just when you can free developers of that requirement to design with a monetization technique in mind, it means that you can, you know, design to different outcomes, or, you know, to encourage different kinds of play that aren't necessarily built around that monetization. And yeah, not to say that monetization in games is bad, but I appreciate that there can be a space where it's not something you even have to think about.
Yeah, and one thing before we wrap up is we received a listener tweet, which is very exciting. We love hearing from people who listen to the show, because we put the feelers out there for anyone who had played Disney Melee Mania or was looking at playing the game, or Alba, and we had a tweet come in from Kenny Play Park, and they said that Melee was the first MOBA that they've tried, which I think is a great thing, because it's a great entry point for anyone looking to try the genre. Because Kenny Play Park mentioned the rest of the MOBA genre, even Pokemon Unite, seemed too daunting, which I agree. The MOBA is a very daunting genre to approach for someone who hasn't played the genre before or who isn't familiar with a lot of those games. And they also did a little bit of name dropping. Game Hub's Edmund Tran, who I've done some work with before, he's a bit of a MOBA expert. He's played a fair bit of Dota. He's played a fair bit of Pokemon Unite. And he has played a bit of Disney Melee Mania as well. And Edmund does have a couple of young kids as well. So something like Disney Melee Mania is very well suited to, you know, having young kids around while you're playing as well. And I think also from the time factor, having a young family, being able to just play a quick 5-minute game is very, very good in those scenarios. So, yeah. And another thing that Kenny Play Park mentioned was that although they haven't played Albert yet, they did note that it had reviewed well on consoles and other platforms, because since it has released on Apple Arcade, it has released on other platforms as well, but did mention that it's very promising to see that a game that is prominent on Apple Arcade and has got its start on Apple Arcade is gaining a fair bit of respect and a fair bit of positive vibes, showing that the stuff on Apple Arcade is good stuff, and the fact that something does appear on a mobile platform does not make it any less of a game.
Yeah, that's definitely a thought that I've had with... I had it with Alba because it was mostly brought to my attention from a friend who'd played it on PC, and then I remembered, oh, that was one of those games that came up on Apple Arcade. I should probably give it a look for the show, because they had glowing things to say about it, much like I did. And yeah, I think about all of these other games. There's stuff like The Pathless and Fantasian, just to name a couple of them. They're games that don't have to have their scope reduced to be appropriate for mobile, but at the same time, they still fit fairly well on these other platforms where you kind of expect fairly, you know, bigger scope games. So yeah, it's really nice to see these kinds of games of this level of scope available as part of Apple Arcade, because you don't see it very much in the typical App Store, because you could speculate for a lot of reasons as to why that is, but my thought is not many people are going to pay the price that is asked for these games in an App Store where free is the default. But here, where a subscription takes away the amount that you have to really pay for it, it means these games can really thrive here and go on to be successful on other platforms as well.
Certainly. And I'll leave with some closing thoughts on Disney Melee Mania as well. So like Mighty Bear Games did with the Battle Royale genre in creating a really condensed, concise, approachable version of the Battle Royale genre with Battle Royale, they've really succeeded with Disney Melee Mania in making a really slick and approachable version of what can be a very complex game to get into with the MOBA genre. So I'm keen to see how they go with it in the future in terms of future updates and hopefully more Disney characters that we all know and love, and so we can continue that wholesome Disney violence that we've encountered so far.
That's a hell of a phrase, wholesome Disney violence. Thank you for bringing that into the world.
Indeed, indeed. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Mobile Arcade Club, which of course brings us to the section where we discuss what we're going to be playing next. So Stephen, what will you be checking out?
Yeah, so I've been looking at this game. It's only come out on Apple Arcade very recently, but it's one of those App Store greats, so it's been around for a very long time, since about 2012, I believe. Bridge Constructor Plus, developed by Clockstone Studio. It looks like, I can't remember the name of it, but there was this bridge construction game that I played on my school computers when I was in high school. This looks very similar and I loved it to bits, so I think I might love this to bits. I'm very keen to give this a try.
I'm keen to hear what you think, and hopefully I'll be able to dive in as well, because the game that I'll be checking out is Nickelodeon Extreme Tennis from Viacom International, and just reading the blurb, join your favorite iconic characters from Nickelodeon shows, past and present, as they compete in the most extreme tennis matches ever. And I heard some interesting things about the Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl, or whatever it was called, that released last year, saying that it was a pretty passable fighting sort of party brawler game. So I'm intrigued to see how they tackle tennis, because I do like a good sports game, and I do like a good sports game with an arcade twist as well, having enjoyed a lot of the Mario Tennis games previously. So I'm very interested to see how Nickelodeon Extreme Tennis does.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Can Nickelodeon come for everything that Nintendo does well and give them some competition, maybe?
Time will tell. Time will tell. In the meantime, thank you once again for joining us on this episode of the Mobile Arcade Club, and we look forward to having you join us next time.
Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you had fun and maybe found something useful. If you did enjoy the show, we'd love it if you told a mobile game-loving friend about it or gave us a review in Apple Podcasts. It all helps more people find the show. You can follow the show on Twitter, at MArcadeClub, where we'll talk about games from upcoming episodes, and each of us hosts are happy to chat gaming too. Our handles are in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll chat again next time.